Well, it is a beautiful day. Not hot. It was hot enough I took my jacket off. It's good to see everybody here. One of the announcements that Dorothy reminded me that I forgot was that the camp food list is on the backboard. And so make sure that that stuff is ready next Sunday. We will be leaving after that. I think there's a 5-hour drive down and a 5-hour drive back. So it's a long haul. I think I'm going to take one direction, and I think Bob and Carmen are going to take the other trip when they come back. One of us is going, I don't know which one is doing what, but anyway, we're going to share that. It's kind of nice that all of us can do, there's different things to do. There's some that would not want to do that at all, and there's some that would. And it's kind of nice that there's all different things we can do. I appreciate Fran. I was visiting with Fran here before I went to Jamaica, and she said, I want something to do. She said, I want to be busy. And so one of the things that I think is important, and you all are all good about greeting visitors when they come, but we think that it'd be good, that was a good thing, and it, that way Fran can greet everybody as they come in. And that's an important job. People need to know that they are welcome when they come. And I appreciate you doing that, Fran. And Fran was a little concerned because she's in a wheelchair and not able to run laps around the building. She said, I don't know what I can do. I said, we'll find something. And so I appreciate that. All of us need the attitude of let's serve where we can. And there are things that each of us can do. And let's just be busy with what we can do. And not be too concerned about what we can't do. And so at any rate, challenge of leadership in the Lord's church. Leadership is crucial. Leadership makes or breaks a business. I began studying business about 11 years ago to learn a little bit more about how do we properly help a church to grow forward. Now, a lot of business principles we cannot apply to the work of the Lord's church. But I can guarantee you that any good business principle that makes a successful business came from the Bible. And so I've always studied it from the other direction, and so I chose to go back the other direction and study it from that angle. And it's taught me an awful lot, and I've enjoyed that. But one of the things that I've learned is you put a different person at the helm in a business, and either destroys it or helps it to go forward. Leadership is everything. That doesn't mean that you can't have decent followers, but and followers don't have a proper role in that, but leadership is crucial, you know. Leadership is important in every role and every aspect in life. In the home, we've got leadership and roles within that leadership. When you go to school, there's leadership at school. When you go to work, there's leadership at work. And there's things that are involved in that. And so as we look at this, we want to look at this from the perspective of the Lord's church. We want it to be blessed. We want it to grow. We want it to go forward. And so I want to look at a few things. To begin with, I want to go to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one that we are to go to for our example and direction. And He is the one that will help us to know what is right and what is wrong. But in this particular situation, we see that He has given us, by His example, a very important principle as we strive to go forward in the Lord's church. And so, and of course, one thing to keep in mind as I say this, many of these things, basically everything, we are all leaders in different areas of our life. Okay? So I don't care where you are in your life. You may feel young and feel like everything is not about you and you're not the leader, but I got news for you. You're a leader in a lot of circles. There's people who look to you for leadership. And it doesn't matter what age we are. I can remember when I was pretty young, I had younger ones that looked up to me. And they were following my leadership. And so we're going to apply the principles that God is giving us for leaders in the Lord's church. And I want you to make sure that you make the application for your role in life, because you are a leader in different areas of your life. And so keep that in mind. I felt that this was a good lesson for every single one of us. And so we look at Jesus, and remember, he is the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5. And notice his example. In verse 36 of Matthew 9, it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." I want us to notice the emotion of Jesus and the emotion that that brought about in his life. Jesus looked on those that were struggling, and as their true leader, he is the chief shepherd. And as their true leader, he was moved with compassion because of the struggles and the challenges that they had in their life. And no doubt, as we follow Jesus throughout the New Testament and we look at the things that he did, the example that he set, and the word that he left for us, we need to always have compassion. And I don't care where you're at in your life, what role you play in leadership in your little realm, but I want you to make sure that you always have compassion on those that are around you. That's a challenge. There's times we don't feel like having compassion, isn't there? Times when we don't feel like, I don't want to be like Jesus. But keep in mind that the example that we are to follow, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, he's talking about him being a servant. And Jesus, as the main leader, the leader in the kingdom, he was a servant to all. And so, as we look at this subject, we need to make sure that we follow Jesus as our example. Now, I want to spend a little time in 1 Timothy, and I want to look at chapter 3, because God has designed that the Lord's church is to have elders or shepherds or pastors in a local congregation. And I hope that in the future that we can have those, because when a congregation is in a situation where they don't have that, like we are here, we are in what Paul called a lacking situation in Titus chapter 1. And so the elders were needed within those local congregations. But within this passage, within this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see one account of the qualifications for leaders. And this should tell us a whole lot about the things that we're to have in our own lives, whether we're a shepherd of the congregation, one of the shepherds of a congregation, or whether we are a leader among our peers at school, or our family, or wherever we're at. It said, "This is a true saying," beginning in verse 1. Sorry.
I should
take
something.
Yeah, you might have to remind me sometime, Laura, that I forgot. In essence, I'm kind of leading up here because I'm taking charge, and I want you to notice that I make plenty of mistakes. Mistakes are a fact of life. I'm not Jesus. I'm trying to be like him. But I have a lot of failings, and so in whatever role you're at, it's okay to make a mistake as long as you learn from it and try to do better. Right. So let's look at this. This is a true saying. "If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work." Now let me quickly mention here that there are several terms used for elders. One is bishop and one is pastor. And so those words are used interchangeably throughout the New Testament as it's talking about the leaders in the Lord's church. He says, "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil." Now, I want you to think for just a minute. think about a man that is leading you, or a group of men as in the Lord's church. Look at the personality of that individual. I think we'd be glad to submit to that kind of a personality, wouldn't we? One that had that wisdom, and one that had that compassion, and that reputation within the community and within the Lord's church. That's an individual that is going to have the best interest of those that he's trying to lead to bless their life and to help them to go to heaven. Now, as we look at that, that kind of leadership is the leadership that we would be more than willing to submit to. And that's what God designed. And God's saying that within the Lord's church, when we have elders or bishops, that these are the kind of men that are to be put into place. And so, as we look at this, we notice that leadership is a massive challenge. And with that in place, I want to bring about and look at several different things as we study this today. The first one that we're going to look at is wisdom. And these individuals must have wisdom to be able to deal with the struggles and the toils of leading people. In the Lord's church, they must understand and know the truth that God has given us. They must be spiritual people, which is evidenced by the qualifications that are there. They must be working to keep all going on a growing path. The church is a growing organism. And you know how the body is that we live in? If it's not growing, it's dying, right? And so the church is the body of Jesus. And so therefore the church needs to be a growing organization. It's not one that we reach a plateau and then we plateau and then we've got it. We've finished. I don't think any of us have reached that plateau. I know that I've got a long ways to go. And I believe that all actually do. And so keeping on a growing basis, and then the attitude of service. We'll look at that last this afternoon. You know what? Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And He's the Master. He's the Lord of all. And so as we look at these things today in this lesson, I hope it will help us as we strive to go forward, whether in the Lord's church or in your circle of life. Because you are a leader as well. You may not be filling the role of office of bishop or elder, but you still must work on these qualities as you strive to look at the well-being of those that are around you. So let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2, we read in your hearing just a minute ago the words of Solomon, that he was giving to his son to encourage him to do the things that are right and to go forward and use wisdom in his life, to seek that wisdom. Now, you know what? Finding wisdom is one of those things that it's not just gaining the head knowledge, but it's being able to gather that knowledge and then put it together in a proper way that will help to bring a good outcome in the relationships and the lives of people that are around us. And so wisdom is a very important thing. It's one that we need to work at to have. Now I want to notice that in chapter 2 verses 1 through 5 he's talking about receiving, seeking, and understanding. And watch what he says. He says, "My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with you, so that thou incline thy ear to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Now you know what? There is so much within that short passage. And it's talking about, number one, receiving it. I think one of the hardest things about you and I as human beings is to receive wisdom. We all like to be on top of the pack. We all like to be the one that's always right, be the one that knows everything. But that's not the way that it is. Even Jesus, who already knew everything, he received wisdom from God. He knew he was going to the cross, but he came before God in the Garden of Gethsemane and pleaded, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." The wisdom was that he was to die. You and I need to receive wisdom. It is so very important. We need to seek it out. And we seek it out by looking at the Bible and noticing the things that are there. And then as we go through life and as we experience different challenges, we use the knowledge that we have gathered to be able to make wise choices and wise directions in our life and the things that we do. Guys, wisdom is kind of an elusive thing. And it's not something that the haughty or the headstrong individual is going to have, but it's an attitude, and the individual that's going to have that is the humble and the meek individual. Moses, as we read just recently, I don't remember where I was, but I was reading it, and he was I think it was in Bible class Wednesday night, but Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. He was a humble man. He was the leader of a great nation of millions of people, but he was meek and humble. You and I need to look to that, and we need to be meek and humble as we look at God's Word. We need to receive the knowledge and then seek that wisdom. And then we need to gain the understanding, and that comes with that humble attitude of dealing with the knowledge and applying that wisdom, and then continuing to apply it as we go through life. And the more we apply, I believe the more understanding and the wiser we will become. Don't ever have a haughty attitude. Be a servant like Jesus. Seek for that wisdom and that knowledge that comes from God. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, he says, For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We can seek for it in a lot of places. Now, I mentioned earlier that early on in my life, for many years, I looked at the Bible to find good business principles to apply to the church in everyday life, whether it's business or whatever. And then I turned it around and I came back and I began to look at other books that were written from a business perspective. And then I would see the advice and the counsel of God throughout those. But always God's Word is the criteria that I use to determine what is right and wrong. I've been wrong a lot of times. And probably, any of you been wrong? Yeah. Crystal. Shh, don't look over there. Guys, we all fall short. To be a proper leader, you need to acknowledge your weakness. I don't care what stage of life we're at. If we're very young, we're leading others. If we're older, we're leading others. And I'll tell you what, in the Lord's church, we must have that attitude. We need to come to God and listen to Him and what He says. And God's Word in verse 9 is that which gives understanding. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. Notice here that we've got to go to God's Word. We've got to rely on that to direct the paths that we take in life. Wisdom is a very essential aspect of a leader in the Lord's church and in every area. But the wisdom comes from God's Word. Not from opinion, not from man's works, but God's Word has to be the basis whereby we get it. Can you imagine having a leader that did not respect truth? You ever deal with that in business? They know the rules, but they don't want to follow them. They make you upset. Are they easy to follow? I've listened to you all, different ones, talk about the issues that you had with Maytag and then Thombert and some of the other realms in which you work. And, a boss that don't stand for the truth
they're hard to take. Okay? In fact, they don't have a very good following because people don't want to follow that kind of an individual. And so we need to make sure that as we look at this, and of course one of the things that the qualifications for elders within the Lord's church is they are not to be a novice. They are to know and to understand the truth of God's Word. They are to know and understand that we cannot do things that are wrong and objectionable to what God has revealed, and that we must stick with it firmly. But there's a couple passages that I'd like to look at. I'd like to go begin with the 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. And notice something that God has given us here that I think is a good reminder. It helps us to see what the proverb Solomon said in the Proverbs about God's Word is the basis for it. And it says here, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, that is the focus of what I wanted to pull out of that passage. And so, to begin with, we need to define some terms. The term oracles is simply the writings or that which God has revealed. And so, in other words, what God is saying within that passage, if you open your mouth, make sure it's according to what God says. We cannot put up with a leader for long that doesn't stand for truth. We will have a very difficult time following such an individual. And actually, for instance, in the workforce, what does that do with the group? Does that really bring cohesiveness and a desire to get something done when they're not truthful? When they don't follow? It makes a breakup of everything. But when they stand for truth, it helps the group to come together, to work together, and to go forward and to give it all they've got to be able to do a good job. And a production line is more productive when the leader is speaking out of truth. And you know what? That's the way it needs to be in the Lord's church. We always make sure that truth is the basis for which leadership is established. Whereby the things that are done, the decisions that are made, the leading that is done is according to what God has revealed. But tell you what, God's always right. You and me, we've got the problem. It's not God. You and I are the ones that struggle. You and I are the ones that have challenges. And you and I are the ones that need to go to the Bible and test every spirit. As it says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, whether it be from God. And all that's talking about, okay, I believe something. And so I open up the Bible to find out whether or not I'm right. That's testing the spirits that it's talking about in that passage. I've made a lot of mistakes over the years, guys. I've had to go back to the Bible. It's like I mentioned, I believe in Bible class. I've learned a lot of things. Every time I open the Bible, I learn something new. And there's times that I open it up and I say, well, I've got to make a change to the way I'm doing things and do things differently. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. That's what we need to work towards. And we want a leader that will speak as the oracles of God and do and say the things that God has determined are right and proper. And when they do that, we know that they will bless our life. We know that they will have our back. We know that they will do the things that will help things to be right and proper and go forward. And that creates a wonderful atmosphere in which to work. It works on the job site. And I guarantee you it works within the Lord's church. I want to go to John chapter 8 and look at verses 31 and 32. John chapter 8 and verses 31 and 32. And this is something that's very important as we look at this love of truth and the striving to do things according to what God has said. This is so very important. And verse 31 of John 8, he begins, and then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, or my disciples, you're truly my disciples if you continue in my word.
Now, that's a pretty heavy saying, because what that's saying is, if we don't continue in His Word, we're not His disciples. That's not a good situation to be in. Because blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life, in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14. And so Jesus says, if you continue in My Word, then you are truly My disciples. It says, and continues, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, a good leader is going to know and understand the truth of God's Word. In the Old Testament, there were numerous instances where God pointed out that they sought people to tell them a lie so they could hear what they wanted to hear. I just read that again, and I think that was also in Hosea, what I read the other day, and I don't remember seeing it there before. I knew it was in another place, I believe in Isaiah. And I saw that, and I'm thinking, that was Israel. That wasn't Judah. They looked for people to say something smooth, to clear their conscience, to make them feel good about the things that they were doing, even though they were totally wrong and they needed the change. You ever been stubborn? Don't tell Dorothy I raised my hand. You know, when we want to have it our way, is it easy to find somebody that will side with you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, look, if you want to be wrong, you'll find plenty of people that will encourage you and tell you, that make you feel good about being wrong, about going the wrong direction and disobeying God. You'll find plenty of people that will soothe your conscience and just rub you on the back. Oh, poor baby, I can't believe that anybody would want you to have to put up with that nonsense. You need to do what you think, and you need to do what you feel right, because I know that's what... Oh, it's a mess. Hey, look. Jesus says the truth will make you free. A leader that does not stand for truth makes you captive to Satan, because you're following. And in the Lord's church, we need leaders that know, understand, and follow the truth. Just like you at school, there are those that follow you. Make sure it's truthful. Because it's not going to take long to destroy your following. At work, make sure you're a good boss. Make sure that you stand for truth and you do that which is right. And those that follow you will be glad to follow you, and you'll bring about good at work. We must understand that truth is essential as we strive to go forward in the Lord's church. I want to deal partly with this next one, and then I'm going to close, because if I can see that clock right, I think we're out of time. Spirituality. Spiritual is a term that I believe is grossly misunderstood today, and it's become a catchword for being emotional and excited. And that's not what spiritual means in any way, shape, or form. Spiritual, in its definition, is opposed to carnal. And carnal is fleshly. In other words, let's go to this passage real quick in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. Because I believe this will help us to understand a little bit about this word. It's not some mystical pie in the sky thing that we receive when we meditate with our legs crossed in a yoga stance. That's so far from the truth. But spirituality is the opposite of carnal or fleshly. In 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear, neither now are ye able to bear it. For you are yet carnal, and whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Guys, one of the things that leaders must be very careful of is to make sure that there's no division or carnality, fleshly attitudes, sinful ways. It is so very important that we understand that, in essence, 1 John 1:7 tells us what spiritual individual actually is. It says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, continually cleanses us from all sin. That is a spiritual individual that's walking according to the principles and the guidelines that God has given. That's the kind of leader that we need, a spiritual leader that sets that example of obedience to God. Guys, I want to tell you something. Each of us have the challenge of obeying Jesus every day. We are met with challenges and things that upset us, things that we would like to do, things that we don't want to do it the way that Jesus says. Guys, give in to Jesus. And just follow what He says. Because the individual that gives in to Jesus and follows what He says is the spiritual individual. Now remember, spirituality is opposed to carnality. The fleshly person is not going to go to heaven. The spiritual person goes to heaven. We need to work to be that spiritual person and not have this pie in the sky attitude that it's some mystical thing, but it's simply obedient to the truth that we have been given in the pages of the New Testament. With leaders like that, whether it's at school or at home, at work, or in the Lord's church, we'll bless the group and help them to go forward. The Lord's church needs leaders just like that, as every realm and area of life does. We're going to have to close. Guys, God tells us what He wants us to do. He came down to heaven and He lived just like us. And then He died on the cross. If that death means anything to you, you're going to give up your selfish ambitions and desires and you're going to put Him first. If it doesn't, you're going to spit in His face. You're going to do what you please. You're going to ignore the writings and the things that He says, the oracles of God, and you're going to go about your own little way. If that death on the cross affects your life, then you are going to grow to be more spiritual every day. You're going to read and study, and you're going to change your life as you read and study. He tells us how to find salvation. It's very simple. We read and study. Remember? That which we need to begin, the beginning of the journey of being a spiritual individual. We gain a faith. We learn we're making some mistakes. If you're not making mistakes, you're not human. So live with it. Acknowledge it. Repent. That's what it's all about. Except you repent, you all likewise perish. In Luke 13 and verse 3, we confess Christ as the master of your life. Without confession of the mouth, there is no salvation, in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. When you acknowledge that He's the Lord, Son of God, you're saying He's got a right to tell you what to do. And if you refuse to do it, you're spitting in the face of the man that died on the cross for your sins. The man that died on the cross for your sins said that you must be baptized for the remission of your sins in order to be saved. That's what He said. And then He also says that we must live faithful. That the Lord's church and the righteousness of God must be the priority in your life. Are you striving to bless the Lord's church? Are you striving to follow the righteousness of God? If that's not your priority, there's a problem. If you're not a child of God, you need to change it. It's easy to do. Humbly acknowledge that you've sinned. You need to change and work on it.
confessing and be baptized. If you've done that, but you're not living faithfully, don't let your haughty attitude stand in your way. Come back. Turn your life around. Give it to God. And go forward with the comfort to know that if Jesus came back today, you'll be able to live with Him in heaven for an eternity. Is there anybody that needs to respond to the invitation this morning? Please do it now while we stand and sing.